Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. So I'm responding to Nick's question. Nick made a comment in my podcast episode called Empathetic Needism in Social Media. I'll tell you what his question is in a second, assuming Nick is male. But the podcast episode, if you haven't heard it, is just briefly about how social media is, and really the whole helping profession, because Dan and I've owned treatment centers, mental health centers. Dan and I developed this work in those places. So I know about that area, that arena of life too, not just spirituality or social media. Spirituality, self-help, it's everywhere. And it's on its face, it's a nice thing. It's a good thing on its face, which is, there's a lot of really helpful people, and they're really loving and kind and eager to help. And that's often coming from buried anger, the codependency. And there's research on it now, and we found it here in KI, and so we're just shedding light on it. Well, that brought up, I guess, so Nick, I didn't understand the context of your question completely. So I have to make sure that I answer it, you know, at least the way you, hopefully I did, and I know maybe you'll comment if I didn't. But it took me a few days to answer it. Here's the question. He asked me to comment on consistently feeling responsible for the bad in other people, the bad that you see in other people. It took me a few days because, first of all, the context of the question, I didn't know exactly the facts around that. And when you guess at what somebody means, you might just miss the mark. I didn't ask you for any clarification, but I sat with it for a few days and I knew I was going to answer it, but I forgot about it. So one thing I want to tell you about you guys will see about me. If you comment to me almost anywhere on social media, on a podcast, most likely you'll get a response. And that's actually more for me than it is you. And it's not what you might think. It's not love and approval. It's, I really like connecting with people now because I've connected with my body. So every opportunity, it's so stupid. I mean, it's funny. It's like a little kid. I was just walking the other day and I was like, because my Instagram page, people don't see my posts yet. My friends don't, my followers, because of Instagram shadow ban and just some things on our social media accounts. But I was just smiling because I was like, well, five people like that post and I want to reach out to that one guy who, because I'm just focused on that. It's like just connection. So that's where I'm focused. If you can understand my consciousness when I'm on social media, it might be different than you might think. I'm not over here trying to amass numbers. We know how to do that because we can turn this spigot on that we have, or a few spigots, so to speak, and a bunch of people see our work. And then we'll close it down because we're building it and we want to make sure that people come are actually serious about the work. And we want to create a community of people who are serious about it. So each of our trainers, we have our own boundaries and our own social media presence. We've even separated from each other for boundaries. It's so beautiful to do this work and watch it happen because everybody finds their own authenticity. And mine has been about connection. So my social media channels are really a personal thing. Yes, I'm teaching, but you have no idea. I mean, maybe you do. Well, yeah, you do. An avoidant attachment style for the first almost 50 years of my life, and then that dissolved through the repression inquiry, and it's like, holy shit, I'm so glad I'm still alive so I can enjoy this. So next question, let me get to that. If I understand what you mean, I would say that's, I think, one of the reasons why I became a teacher. I would call it codependency, to put a word on it. And then under the codependency, as I said in the empathetic needism, Nick, is that buried anger quite often, but also there's buried hurt. It's like what we do in relationship with each other to stay safe and get love. And we all do different things. But I would say that always excusing other people's or feeling responsible for other people's bad behavior protects you. It's kind of like the social media influencers identified with empathy and trying to help everybody else, but not dealing with her buried anger. when we see people and we excuse their behavior, for example, I used to do it all the time. If somebody would get angry, instead of feeling whether I was angry or hurt or afraid, well, I might feel some fear if that was safe. It wasn't, that was safe compared to the anger. I would excuse their behavior, and I would even use spirituality to do that, Nick. I would say, well, they're unconscious. You can see they're triggered. It was total bullshit because I had buried anger, and their trigger came from buried emotions. But I use my buried emotions created a different ego structure, the one that is never upset by anything or can't be upset by anything. It's a real dangerous ego to have or to try to develop in spirituality, because spirituality rewards this thing where it's like, oh, those people out there that aren't doing the work that we're doing. You know, it's like, I saw that division. I had partners that wouldn't do the work. I didn't meet them for that reason. And yet somewhere in the relationship, suddenly I want them to do the work because I feel responsible. I feel bad because look at how much they're suffering. But that had nothing to do with them. And what I want to say, Nick, is that it's the processing of buried emotions that shows us this. It's not the processing of beliefs and identities and other things. It's the repression that shows it to us. Because there's a reason that you asked me the question. It has to do with there's some suffering in that for you. And if you can imagine me as a teacher looking out into the world and, well, first of all, having a shift of presence, but not getting to the buried anger, I still had the codependent need to do something, anything for other people, like to wake them up, change them, make them better, excuse them, forgive them. And all that's just a lot of energy. It feels so loving, doesn't it, in a way, when you see somebody acting badly or angry or something, and you're like, oh, that poor person, look at them. They're just, I don't know how you react to it. I mean, I don't know what you mean by feeling responsible or even feeling like bad, like sad is even, that sounds like it's more authentic, but if we have buried emotions, what we're experiencing at the surface is what's safe for us. So if I feel a lot of sorrow for someone, how would I know whether that's actually just coming from buried anger, that there's something that I can't feel there? And that the sorrow or the pity or the even the compassion, the empathy, as I said on the empathetic needism, that could all be coming from repression. And that's how the ego works. The ego is not just an angry, upset thing out there that we feel responsible for. It's us who feel responsible for it. That's our ego. For those of us who take that on, that's the codependency. It's hard to see because it really is separation. The way that anger repressors feel separate is through not knowing that they're angry. You know, I don't know what your repression is, Nick. I just have to give an example, and I have my own life here. But the way that I would always sort of forgive people's behavior or explain it away spiritually or just, well, they're just, that's their ego or whatever I would say, if I said anything like that, it would have been to protect me. Because when I finally got with somebody who would and did get angry at me, who did not hold back at times, I learned what that feels like, Nick. It's like even the most loving thing, the most helpful thing, it's like when you start teaching your partner or even like, it's not even teaching. It's like, that's what I was doing until I learned better, until I saw how unloving that was. But even like looking at my partner, it's much more nuanced than that. Looking at someone, anyone, as if, that, how do I say this? We really have to check into ourselves because most everything we're experiencing, if we're suffering, is for us. It just looks like it's for them. I mean, forgiveness is a great example because there's a lot of anger repressors who are just desperately trying to forgive. The very reason that they're suffering is the buried anger, mostly, or hurt, that's under it all. But they can't feel that. And so they're suffering because repression creates suffering. They don't know where it comes from. They just know it has to do with that person because they hold pain for that person. So they have to forgive that person. That's an example of like someone who's not processing their own stuff. I just did a post that said, I was a loving kid who was bullied, and then I didn't forgive them. What I did is I transmuted the disease that came later to the anger that I could never feel, and then to self-love. And it's probably applicable here that if we're suffering over feeling bad or responsible for other people, the bad in other people, then that's going to be self-serving in some way. So I would say transmute that shadow to whatever anger or hurt is in your body that you can't feel right now. And then that transmutes to self-love, meaning embodied presence. There's no separate self. It's just self-love, just words. And then when that love, you find that love within, because I don't know, that's not about them. Then you can see them how they are more. But usually if we have repression, that's what I learned and why I talk about it all the time. It's creating all of our shadows, all of our ways in which we deflect or from taking any responsibility for how we actually feel. We do it through forgiveness, compassion, empathy. And this was just hidden to me. Until you get to the anger, you don't know why the identification with the empathy is there. Why you're so empathetic, or why you're so compassionate. That's so important. Not you, anybody. Or why forgiving bad behavior is so important. Unless we're in anger repressors or hurt repressors, well, anger repressors have to be good. So I'll just stick with that. We have to be good. And when we look at the bad in others, you see, that serves us. Because then we keep the anger buried and we can feel we're not that. See the duality? Repression creates duality, creates good versus bad. Look out into the world and I see all that bad behavior and shake my head back and forth, left and right. And all that does is keep me safe. And what it does is it allows me to get love and approval from everyone else that I meet after now, because I'm good. I'm not the bad out there. And so that's the narcissism, the needism that I was talking about in that podcast. See, we all need to own the narcissism thing fully. If I haven't said it, if you want to be free, I mean, I could start a channel. This says, well, I was a covert narcissist. Let me just tell you about it. And I'd probably get millions of viewers, because we all are. We could all start our own channel if we'd be honest. And that's an example of like, you know, feeling responsible for all the people that are suffering. Meanwhile, I'm raging underneath and using all of that to hide who I really am, get love and approval, be good. The good thing is there really is empathy and compassion and love. We have to go deeper than just looking at people and thinking that whatever we're thinking about them is the truth. So I'll leave you with this, since this, I think this comment, I found it on YouTube. I also found a comment that I'd made on a video about Jordan Peterson. And this is actually relevant. But Jordan Peterson says, if somebody's not listening to you, stop and watch them. And they'll show you who they are. And I say, agreed. If somebody's not listening to you, stop and watch. But since we have so many projections and shadows coming from buried emotions, you're watching yourself. So see how you do. So when you process buried emotions, you'll look at people, what I mean is you look at people like that who are, you feel responsible for the bad in them. And you would think, well, I could just sit and watch them and somehow observe that, but you can't. The observer is the observed. That's why I say to Jordan, you can't just stop and watch people. We're always watching ourselves, our own projections. All of that keeps us safe. The world that we see, if I see bad people, that keeps me safe from my buried anger. I'm not watching them. I'm not forgiving them. I'm keeping me surviving as a false separate self. I'm the good one watching the bad ones. But if you go deeper from awareness, from actual non-dual awareness, if you process your buried emotions, you can really see that the observer is the observed. And all those shadows that were coming from buried emotions aren't there. And the only way you can have that realization is by stopping and watching all of your shadows and seeing that they come from buried anger, and then or hurt or sadness. And you can see exactly what I'm saying is that even our most compassionate things are self-serving. And we cannot see this in the mind. People have been disagreeing with me, and I'm like, just go take the repression test. One lady said, I just refuse to believe that buried emotions don't arise in meditation, so I'm just going to continue to believe that, despite what you're saying, Scott. And I said, okay. Because it's in the body. How would you know? The buried stuff is. But if you start to process buried emotions, then, Nick, you're going to be able to answer this on your own. You're going to look out into the world and you're going to see the bad in others. And instead of just believing that that shadow or that is what's really out there, you're going to go into your body and you're going to see, and you can do it right now, if you're, any of you are anger repressors, pull up the world or people close to you and say, I don't have to be good. Feel into the body, right where you hold energy, like with your mom and dad, I don't have to be good. Look at your addictions. I don't have to be good. Look at your public behavior. If you're on social media, I don't have to be good. If you feel some energy, well, that's it. That's the anger repression. Holding back anger is synonymous with appearing good, because we think of anger as bad, for example. Now, if you see this, there's the root of the sense that they're all this bad in other people, and that we have to take responsibility for it. Because if by taking responsibility for their bad, we don't take responsibility for the fact that we have to be good. And that under that you can't feel in this inquiry is the buried anger. But it's the contraction that says, that responds, I have to be good, is the same, the body saying, I have to hold the anger back, or hurt, or sadness, but being good is often anger repression. Not to say that there aren't emotions and there are other ones involved. I hope that helps, Nick. And then for anyone else who's interested, I always put the link to the, so people are signing up for the March 1st Jumpstart. It starts March 1st. What I do is, listen to what I'm doing here. It's like, don't come and do, if you don't feel like doing a 3-month course, or then don't come and do a month Jumpstart. You will know by the end of the month whether this modality is for you. That's what Jumpstart is for. And it's better than a session, because a session, if you like it, then the session is us guiding you through it. You don't know how to do it on your own. But the Jumpstart helps you learn from the beginning in a group that's safe. You don't have to perform in front of anyone. If you're an anger repressor, you don't have to get angry in front of anyone. It's a process that you do on your own. If you're ready to go beyond the Jumpstart to my most favorite and best program, and the one I enjoy the most, it's the intensive 90-day, then you can also get there through that link to come and talk to me for free about that. Thank you.